It's time for Insure Talk with insurance industry tech geek and Guidewire chief evangelist, Laura Drabik. In this podcast series, we don't just talk about innovative ideas in P&C insurance. We talk with industry trailblazers about the big ideas they made happen and how they did it. If you're looking for insights on the trends and technologies reshaping the industry, an all-new Insure Talk starts now.
Welcome to Insure Talk. My name is Laura Drabik, and I'm the chief evangelist at Guidewire. In this episode, I have the privilege of interviewing two very special guests, Anand Premsunder, global insurance data and AI lead at Accenture, and Amy Mullen, vice president of product management at Guidewire. The focus of our discussion today is a topic that's dominating the technology conversation in virtually every industry this year, generative AI. While it's still early days, many view generative AI as the most consequential technology of the next decade. But what exactly is generative AI? What are its most compelling use cases in P&C? And how do you separate what's real from what's hype? During our conversation, we'll demystify generative AI and offer practical insights for carriers seeking to leverage this game-changing technology to achieve meaningful competitive advantage. Hello, Anand and Amy. Thank you for joining my podcast.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Generative AI, it is a form of artificial intelligence capable of generating entirely new content. So for our listeners, think about text, audio, images, video, code, and more. And it's all based on the inputs that it's trained on. In P&C, the potential use cases are endless. Generative AI can coach agents through the sales process for complex products like cyber, summarize submission data to streamline underwriting, analyze synthetic claims information to identify opportunities for new lines, and the list goes on and on and on. So it's still early days, but Property Casualty 360 reports that 40% of insurers in the US and nearly 30% of insurers in the UK are actively using Gen AI in their business processes. Anand, what's your impression of the state of exploration among Accenture's insurance industry clients, and what use cases are or should they be focused on?
Most top carriers today have started to build business-driven proof of concepts, right? Early stage prototypes. Some of them are starting to go into production. And like you said, they're across distribution, marketing, underwriting, claims, customer service, and even some enterprise operations like technology, finance, HR processes, and so on. On average, we see 5 to 10, 15 use cases in pilot at top commercial carriers. Most carriers seem to have their initial starting point generative AI infrastructure in place for experimentation. In some carriers, most data scientists seem to have access to multiple large language models. We also see that this is a clear step up from existing AI-led transformation that most carriers have been on for the past few years, including straight-through processing, document processing, AI-led automation. Lastly, except a couple of federated scenarios, most large carriers are setting up larger COEs that will be governed centrally. The journey to Gen AI-powered insurer is definitely on at most carriers that we interact with on a day-to-day basis.
That makes a lot of sense. And you said a couple of things that I want to highlight. Carriers getting their infrastructure in place for experimentation first. That makes a lot of sense. And then also considering a center of excellence so that you can ground or control centrally. Well put. Thanks for sharing, Anand. McKinsey estimates generative AI could add more than $1 trillion, that's with a T, dollars in value for the P&C insurance industry worldwide. Okay, in my view, that's predicated on identifying and also prioritizing compelling use cases and, yeah, deploying the infrastructure and data ecosystem needed to support them. Amy, any application of Gen AI can only be as good as the data it's trained on and the workflows to which it's integrated. From an infrastructure perspective, what do insurers need to think about before they even get to a conversation about identifying and implementing the most compelling cases for Gen AI?
So there are really three things that come up a lot in the conversations that we're having with insurers. One is what type of data that you will need for training. So Anand mentioned the COE. That's a really important concept. There are vastly different types of data sets that we're going to need to train generative AI for the various use cases that do span the enterprise, from claims to underwriting, generating code to help coding efficiency, all of those may need different types of data to train. The second one is, who is the user and what is the user experience for this? It's very different if you're trying to use GenAI in a use case that goes to someone who may not have expertise in an area versus someone who's an expert in the area where you're trying to deliver something to make them more efficient or take a burden off of them of a rote or sort of an everyday task. And then finally, I think something you need to plan for is, how are carriers going to initially test these systems to ensure consistency and accuracy, just like you would with any other AI technology? But then also, what about the ongoing monitoring and feedback? Some of these systems have ways for users to put feedback built into them so that you can get that feedback. Was that an accurate answer? Was it useful? But we need to make sure that when we get that feedback, we understand who it's coming from.
So Amy, what you said really caught my attention because it's so incredibly enlightening. And that is, start with the user. And even what you just said about feedback, again, you brought it back to the user. Well put. So assuming a carrier is operating on a modern insurance platform, I don't know, like Guidewire, there's another crucial aspect to considering use cases for Gen AI. At Accenture, for instance, its core philosophy around AI has always been centered on combining AI with the human touch, as captured in Human and Machine, Reimagining Work in the Age of AI. Anon, with Accenture set to invest $3 billion to enhance its ability to leverage Gen AI and other forms of AI, talk to us about your firm's belief that AI isn't about replacing humans, it's about empowering them. Why is this important?
You rightly referred to Paul's position on human and machine-driven transformation. It's our core philosophy, and GenAI has only enhanced that belief. Just to give you an example, all of us have felt the pressure of pace, a job done well enough to pass muster, but at the back of our mind, most of us are second-guessing the decisions we make because we didn't have enough information at our disposal, or we didn't have the time needed to make the best decision we could. GenAI, especially for the knowledge workers, so think underwriters, agents, claims handlers, empowers the human to make better decisions, powered by insights that can be sourced and interpreted from a variety of sources within a very short span of time, thereby empowering the knowledge worker to use the power of GenAI.
Amy, what does the notion of empowering humans through AI mean from an infrastructure perspective?
So interestingly, I think the biggest word that comes to mind when I thought about this question was transparency. The infrastructure needs to be designed so that it's clear to everyone who's running it and using it what AI is being used and for what purpose. The humans who are running the system, both the infrastructure as well as the end users, need to understand and have visibility into what kinds of data were used to train the model or models, what guardrails are in place in terms of what responses are provided, and how they can monitor and audit results. Making GenAI truly effective and empowering means giving the people who are using it an understanding of how it's being used and what it's using as its inputs. Technically, there are a ton of tools out there that teams can use to train models. There are different base models that can be used. There's ways to chain different types of models or different types of AI techniques together. And you can integrate GenAI into almost every single application that's out there. I believe that the people who do this most effectively over time will be the ones that design their infrastructure for transparency from day one and are proactively monitoring, managing it, and updating it over time for quality. That's why that notion of the COE, I think, is so important. Really need to be thinking about these things ahead of time rather than getting into it and trying to re-engineer the infrastructure for them later.
Generative AI, it's not exactly new. It's been around in some form for decades, arguably at least since 1966 when MIT released Eliza, the chatbot that simulated talking with a therapist. But continued work on AI and machine learning has led to the rollout of generations of generative AI tools, the most auspicious of which was OpenAI's public launch of ChatGPT last year. For each of you, we'll start with Anon. What has surprised you most since the launch of ChatGPT, and how it and other generative AI tools inspired insurers to reimagine core processes and enhance the customer experience?
You're right. Most of this technology in some way, shape, or form has existed for a very long time. A few things did change in the last few years, most important being availability of storage and compute, especially enabled by these hyperscalers. The number of parameters powering these models and the ability to make it pervasive and usable has been a game changer. ChatGPT brought this closer to home, where family, friends, our children have started using it in ways which no one thought possible a few years ago. I guess we shouldn't be surprised that insurers and leaders in the insurance space, like everyone else, have started thinking about how can this help me do my job more efficiently. The one thing that has truly surprised me is how the conversation has quickly moved from how can I be more efficient to how can I grow by using Gen AI.
I think what surprised me was how quickly not just generative AI, but all AI techniques became the subject of discussion at the highest levels of the leadership. You know, when you talk to the C-suite, this is the thing that is top of mind. The acceleration in terms of how people are looking at this as a key technology has been truly incredible. And I think it's really due to that notion of it becoming real. When OpenAI had a public interface, all of a sudden everybody understood in a real, tangible way, this is what we're talking about. And I can see how I might use this and apply it to my business to help us grow, to help us be more efficient, or even to help my knowledge workers maybe focus on the tasks that are more interesting, engaging, and frankly, more valuable for them.
Awesome. Great information. When we come back after this short break, we'll continue our conversation about generative AI in P&C with Anand Prasunder, Global Insurance Data and AI Lead at Accenture, and Amy Mullen, Vice President of Product Management for Guidewire. So stay tuned.
Digging InsureTalk with Laura Drabik? Be sure to subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. While you're at it, rate the show on Apple Podcasts and let us know how we're doing. Now, let's get back to the show.
And welcome back to InsureTalk. This is Laura Drabik, and I'm talking generative AI with Anand Prasunder, Global Insurance Data and AI Lead at Accenture, and Amy Mullen, Head of Product Management at Guidewire. It may help listeners to understand the distinction between traditional forms of AI and generative AI because they have specific strengths and specific use cases. So Anand, how do you explain the difference between traditional or predictive AI and generative AI to insurers? How or even does generative AI fall within the realm of cognitive AI?
At its most basic form, traditional AI, predictive data science, machine learning models are focused on a specific objective, and we had a model for each objective. For example, what is likelihood of an event to occur? Will a consumer click on this specific promotional ad? What is the likelihood of a catastrophic risk scenario to occur? These are all predictive probabilistic models. Generative AI truly falls into the realm of cognitive AI because the large language models are built to interpret and create content like we human beings do and are not trained with a specific objective in mind. The easiest parallel I can draw is for you to think about all the knowledge that is imparted to you in formal settings like schools and informal settings like family events, sporting activities, etc., that are stored in your brain as a piece of information, logic, learning, etc. A Gen AI model is exactly that. It has what is widely known as parameters, which are nothing but trying to mimic how the human brain stores information, processes that information, interprets it, and gives answers back to the questions that you ask of it. And just like you would put a human being into any kind of information-oriented task, you are putting a Gen AI model to give answers to questions you pose. Lastly, the current generation of Gen AI models aren't very good at quantitative tasks because they aren't designed to do what the predictive models did in the past.
Amy, beyond AI becoming sentient and destroying the world like Skynet did in the movie The Terminator, what has been the biggest misperception that you've encountered around Gen AI?
That it is a replacement for, instead of an augmentation for, people and knowledge workers doing the work that we do every day with insurers. The notion that Gen AI in the next 3 years will completely replace the role of humans in completing transactions in insurance core systems.
Yeah, it's so interesting. We do these tech trends. We posted them to LinkedIn and one was on generative AI. We had 40 comments that varied from very humorous, replace lawyers, all the way to really scared people saying, I fear that my job is going to be gone. But I'm glad you set people at ease here. When I talk with insurers, three overarching application areas always seem to surface for Gen AI transformation within P&C. So we have first sales and distribution, second underwriting, and then third claims. As an example, for a standard lines carrier selling through captive agents, approximately 80% of commercial lines products are typically sold by 20% of their agents. How about adding Gen AI based coaching around complex lines or more complex lines like commercial insurance to expand the percentage of agents successfully closing more deals? Anand, what are some of the more exciting ways carriers can leverage Gen AI in sales and distribution?
It completely changes the agent and the distribution experience. All our research suggests that for complex commercial underwriting, maybe 20% of the submissions are opened and reviewed. And it takes at least 2 weeks for a broker to get a response from a carrier on whether they intend to respond to a submission, whether they are going to quote or not. This is where GenAI's potential truly brings it to life. With GenAI running in the background, every single submission can be reviewed, underlying risk identified, compared against the carrier's appetite to underwrite that risk. We can surface these insights with a score or list out key factors, enabling the agent to respond to a submission ask that the carrier is more likely to underwrite, which truly drives a higher closure rate for the agent.
Next up, underwriting. Well, the core job of underwriters is to assess and price risk. They waste nearly 40% of their workday on admin tasks, just related to prepping submissions for assessments. So what if Gen AI collects submission data, analyzes and summarizes it so the underwriter is able to expedite the process and increase total underwriting volume? Amy, what are some other ways Gen AI solutions connected to a modern policy platform like Guidewire could streamline underwriting and reduce inefficiencies?
There's a few things that we've been looking at and talking to various carriers about. It ranges from the simple, like making sure that we do a quality assessment, building on what Anand said. When a submission comes in, can we identify missing data? Can we go out and automatically get that data from a third party? Can we go back and ask for additional data? How quickly can we run those submissions through an assessment for appetite? The other thing that we're looking at is in terms of just the admin task that you were talking about, Laura, not having to go out and manually look for data at third parties. Can we automate that process? Doing things like creating underwriting worksheets automatically. So can we save the underwriter or the underwriter assistant time in piling through all the documents to pull an underwriting worksheet together? We're looking at those things as well as how we actually think about the workflow itself as we go through clearance and the other stages of the underwriting process. And can we automate those steps in a greater percentage of the cases that come in?
Let's round out our life cycle with claims. Reports in the industry press suggest claims losses have been the primary driver behind deteriorating financial performance in P&C this year, making processes such as claims intake, investigation, mitigation, and personalized customer communications logical priorities for Gen AI adoption. Anand, how can generative AI best be leveraged to these ends, and how will it benefit both the insurer and the claimant?
More accurate claims payouts, reduction in fraud. That's my starting point with Gen AI. LLMs have the ability to pour through large volumes of content. Think demand packages. Take an example. General liability claim for food poisoning at a restaurant and gets routed to the insurer. When a demand package like that comes in, Gen AI can provide insights to claims adjudicators on crucial information from the demand package, specifically on customary care, financial cost, past litigation patterns, key dates, fraud indicators, enablement of identifying inconsistencies and anomalies in the demand package faster through synthesis. This truly empowers the claims adjudicator with key facts as the claim moves from evaluation to settlement. These can be powerful tools in the hands of a claim handler, which brings in highly curated information when the demand package arrives, instead of the weeks it takes for the adjudicator, attorney, medical experts to go through these hundreds of pages in a demand package, thereby getting to faster settlements, getting that money in the hands of the claimant faster than going through a long timeline of adjudication and settlement.
Great. Thanks, times two. We'll continue the conversation on the other side of this break, so don't go anywhere.
Loving Insure Talk with Laura Drabik? For more expert insights and inspiration, subscribe to Laura's email newsletter at drabikdigest.com, your one-stop resource for Laura's latest blog posts, videos, podcasts, articles, and more. That's www.drabikdigest.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. This is Insure Talk with Laura Drabik, where we're talking with Anand Premsunder from Accenture and Amy Mullen from Guidewire. Amy, we touched on how having the right data ecosystems in place will be crucial to Gen AI initiatives. A significant part of that is data preparedness, ensuring that data and content are ready to fuel that Gen AI engine. That means an insurer's data platform must ensure completeness and quality of data sets and transparency into the factors behind the guidance it provides carriers, reps, prospects, and policyholders. Paint a picture for us, please, of what this overall platform and data ecosystem should look like and what considerations should insurers keep in mind as they start to implement Gen AI-enabled strategies.
The place to start is thinking about what broad categories of data your data platform needs to include. So things like structured data from a core system, from other systems within the enterprise, unstructured data that comes in the form of documents, photos, videos, all of the data that we collect that isn't necessarily that kind of structured data that sits in a database. And then you also need to think about how are you storing and accessing your proprietary data versus what kinds of access do you need to have to third-party data, whether that's a data partner or other information that's out there that you may want to use in your downstream data pipelines and for different use cases. The platform itself needs to be able to provide quality, so making sure that there's good quality data in the data platform, but also access and providing the correct access to this data across all of the different data types. So things like APIs against the data. A good data platform will have a set of APIs that allow downstream users access to the data to which they are authorized to have. And that's a key point as well. It's remiss if we talk about a data platform without talking about correct access controls and privacy controls as well. Once you have that, now you have a good basis to train generative AI as well as running other downstream data pipelines. And for Gen AI in particular, I think it's really important to think about documents. How are you gathering and getting access to documents, both for training and for real time? That is certainly something that most organizations, I think, today have a handle on. But it is really crucially important. It's interesting because for Gen AI, a lot of this stuff is just the basics of having a good data platform up, running, and making that data accessible.
Yeah, it makes sense, Amy. Like you said, it's not just about the quality, it's about secure access to that quality data. So thank you for sharing that. So Anand, how should insurers address some of the shortcomings inherent in generative AI? Things like bias or LLM hallucinations, like the one that claimed the Golden Gate Bridge was transported across Egypt in 2016, or that wine can prevent cancer. By the way, I personally don't think the wine one is a hallucination, but whatever. Anand, where do these shortcomings originate? And how should insurers solve for them?
Amy just talked about documents. For insurers, the interpretive part of Gen AI is a lot more relevant than the creative part of Gen AI. For example, while creative Gen AI chat use cases are exciting, they are generally edge use cases. Typically, these shortcomings like bias, hallucination, originate when LLMs don't have information or ability to come up with an informed answer, especially when the query posted doesn't guide the LLM to go down a certain pathway of information retrieval. For example, if we are asking Gen AI to understand what's in a underwriting policy guideline and then evaluate the content that came in as part of a submission, you will see that we are clearly telling the LLM to give an answer based on the guideline and not letting the LLMs go down its own information retrieval path. That in itself reduces a ton of both bias as well as the risk of hallucination. The human in the loop, especially for the more complex workers, is an absolute must. Apart from that, insurers being insurers are risk averse. And for critical processes, you may want to do a layered approach of using multiple LLMs that look at are these answers that the LLMs are throwing consistent before they get embedded into a decision-making process.
Yeah, what you said is spot on. Providing it with guidelines so that it doesn't go down its own path. That's really important. And, you know, you touched on a couple of new roles for carriers that they might not have been aware of if they start to employ Gen AI, and that is the human auditor as well as a human trainer, something that can train the Gen AI to do exactly what you outlined. So well put. Accenture's perspective. What are some key technological challenges carriers will face in ensuring data security and privacy while driving innovation and digital transformation using Gen AI? Anand, would you be able to share that perspective with us?
Sure. I think in all the conversations with boards at carriers, with the C-suite, the three things I tell them are, everyone talks about known problems, which is data privacy and security. However, for insurers, thinking about Gen AI, the technology problem statement and solutions are a little more nuanced. Number one, if you're going down the Gen AI path, you should be absolutely comfortable with moving your entire application landscape to the cloud. Number two, and Amy talked about it, document management systems are still in the 80s and 90s, maybe in the early 2000s, they need a serious upgrade. Documents and content are key feeders for Gen AI. Get them right. Third one, the industry has been focused on straight-through processing and hence focused on use cases like claims straight-through processing, dynamic pricing. These are all what we call as the traditional AI decisioning systems. With Gen AI, you'll be able to do extremely complex cognitive tasks that are not rule-driven and hence put in technology that brings the human in the loop.
Yeah, that point can't be made clear enough around the documents. And both of you have articulated that we need to get those documents right and upgraded. And Anand, Amy and I couldn't agree with you more about move to the cloud, something that we've espoused the virtues of to our customers. In the same way generative AI should empower humans rather than replace them, the industry also has a shortage of humans to empower. Skilled resources with expertise in AI models, data structures, insurance industry contextualization, they're going to be in high demand. But for both of you, what skills will organize leaders need to nurture among these frontline employees in the age of Gen AI?
There's clearly a set of emerging specific technical skills that will be in high demand. And we certainly will need people who are more comfortable with AI. They understand modeling. They understand training. There's a new idea of prompt engineering as a technical skill as well. And those are certainly going to be very, very important going forward. But there is one thing that I also want to add to this, which is no matter how well you hire for the specific technical skills that are relevant today, those will evolve and change over time. So one of the things we talk a lot about is having people who are curious, having people who like to ask questions and learn new things. Because as much as they may know everything there is to know today, in 6 months or a year or 2 years, that simply won't be true without that curiosity and that demonstrated willingness to go out and find new information and learn new things. We think that as a soft skill is going to be vitally important going forward.
We are seeing a shift in thinking of knowledge workers. All of us use technology, and some of us use it like it's always been there, when it's only been here for the last 3, 4, 6 months. There's a focus on everyone needing to learn AI, the organizations starting to train the people across the firm, frontline workers, again, underwriters, claim specialists, sales agents, and customer service agents. Along with this, it'll be critical to train people to not just know how to interact with solutions, but be able to constantly change their tooling and still deliver business outcomes. Amy just talked about it as well. Lastly, the more senior knowledge workers are probably going to train the machines as much as they are going to be training human beings. Just something to think about.
Yeah, makes sense. So what advice, Anand, would you give to C-suite executives who just listened to this episode and have perhaps been overwhelmed with the nonstop buzz about Gen AI? How should they look at using generative AI to disrupt their market so they don't get disrupted?
Execution eats strategy for breakfast. The technology will evolve. My guidance always is start building the organization muscle needed to change. For insurers, it'll be underwriting and claims. That'll be the core of what's going to go through a huge amount of transformation. Pick the hyperscaler, your cloud partner. Pick your AI partner who can execute at scale along with you and get solutions in the hands of your sales partners, underwriters, and claims adjudicators.
So he took a lot of my answers. answers. But I think the fundamental here is that they need to focus on what their business objectives are, what are their challenges in their markets, and ask themselves, what are the opportunities to not only look at claims and underwriting within their four walls, but also start to think about how Gen AI and other technologies can help them be more efficient and effective by improving the interoperability that they have in those key data exchanges with brokers, with agents, with reinsurers or reinsurers, reinsurance brokers. What opportunities start to be there, not just within the four walls of the insurer, but also within the larger insurance value chain?
Anand and Amy, thank you for your time and incredible insights. You've shown us it's not just about ideas, it's about making ideas happen.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you, Laura.
Tune in next time for an all-new episode of Insure Talk with Laura Drabik, brought to you by Guidewire, the platform PNC insurers trust to engage, innovate, and grow efficiently. For more information, visit guidewire.com.